This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
In a desperate, dire situation, a lot of people in the U.S. answering the desperate pleas of the people in Puerto Rico. We'll talk about that. In the meantime, the president saying he intends to sign an executive order on purchasing health care, and Playboy founder Hugh Hefner dead at the age of 91. First, we dive into what the president is saying about health care. What does that mean? The president is looking into insurance and how he can take it into his own hands. So a day after Congress's last-ditch attempt to repeal Obamacare failed once again, he said he's going to sign an order to do what he can do. I'll probably be signing a very major one, is what he's calling it, where people can go out, cross state lines, do a lot of things, and buy their own health care. And that'll probably be signed next week. It's being finished now. It's going to cover a lot of territory, a lot of people, millions of people. The president, of course, ran on this and made no secret. He's fuming, frustrated, sick of it. Congress will not repeal Obamacare. They shelved the latest plans. They didn't get enough support. Trump seems to be backing health insurance reforms pushed by Senator Rand Paul. Paul opposed the Senate repeal bill, wants insurers to be allowed to sell policies across state lines, and for people to be able to form groups to buy coverage. I don't know. Where does this all end up? Here's what Paul does say. I believe President Trump can legalize on his own the ability of individuals to join a group or health association across state lines to buy insurance. So that whole state lines thing is really part of the big push in that. And I don't know, maybe that happens. It looks like it. Now, the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, they can't comment on anything until they see the details of the executive order. So reacting to it would be ridiculous because they only know the broad strokes. They don't know what it would really entail and what it would mean. Right? It's interesting. Equifax, all the problems they've been having, they're really getting just pummeled. I saw an infuriating story today. Listen, I'm about capitalism, so are many of you, but capitalism when it's just. So when you have CEOs that are crushing it and you see stocks going through the roof and they're doing what they can to make the company, you know, triple whammy, solvent plus, that's one thing. But Equifax screwed up. The CEO's parachute is like a platinum parachute. $90 million. $90 million. How many people's info was thrown out there for the taking? So what the company is doing is they're saying they're going to allow customers to lock and unlock access to their credit files for free and for life. I mean, that's a big, 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 big mea culpa from a company who didn't really want to do that. I think they had no choice. The interim CEO realized we're screwed. We have to do something. This massive data breach has enraged so many people. I mean, you're talking about personal information for about 153 million people. Customers have been told to implement credit freezes. So now they're going to just try to do what they can to service, because that's what you got to do in this situation. You know, you have no choice. What are you going to do? Customers are fumed. I'd be fumed too. If your info's exposed and now you start to run into these walls, they were hacked. I mean, that's the bottom line. But they didn't have enough support for the customers, for the consumers. The website wasn't good. The call center couldn't manage the volume of calls. It was just a nightmare. So you can apologize. But the bottom line is, if it's your name and your info you're not feeling good about it. Yeah, you're not feeling good about it. In fact, you're saying, you know, forget you. And you're and that's why the stocks are tanking. Because people don't like it. People don't like it. It's kind of like this whole, we're debating over the healthcare and why. Because it's just, we're always in that cycle where we're stuck like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz on a very bad day, on Groundhog Day, where it keeps repeating the entire time almost since I've done this show. I've done this show for a decade. And if we go back and listen to some of what I said and some of the conversations I had in D.C., oh my gosh. You just have to change the names of the people and what and whether they're a Democrat or a Republican. Oh. So while that gets sorted out, the other thing that affects you in your life, whether it's business or whether it's personal, is taxes. And Trump unveiled a Republican framework for tax reform that calls for tax cuts and a simplification, basically, of the tax code. Because we always hear about, what, do you understand the tax code? And he's saying it's a once-in-a-generation opportunity, and I'm good at this. I've been waiting for a long time. We're going to cut taxes for the middle class, make the tax code simple and more fair for everyday Americans. We're going to bring back the jobs and the wealth that have left our country, and most people thought left our country for good. So there is pressure. He's trying to put pressure out there for the need for sweeping tax reform. And while he was in Indianapolis speaking, he offered specific numbers to back up these biggest changes to the codes. So personal income tax brackets from 7 to 3. So think about this. Where would you fall? 12%, 25%, or 35%? Double the standard deduction for married and single filers. Ooh. To $24,000 and $12,000, slashing the corporate tax rate to 20% and eliminating the estate tax, among some of the other proposals for this tax reform. But slashing the corporate tax rate to 20% is big. So the president says, look, this isn't going to help the wealthiest people like myself. It's going to strip away tax breaks and loopholes. It's not good for me, believe me. Trump says that wealthy, well-connected people could call him all they want, but it's not going to help. He's doing the right thing. So think about this. The president's tax reform framework proposes cutting the top income bracket from 39.5% to 35%, but they say there could be a fourth income tax bracket. I say make it easy. It's not easy. I love the idea of doubling the deduction, the standard deduction. That could help a few folks out there. I'm for a simplified tax code. There's no doubt. When you look at doing taxes even and having to file long forms and figuring out all of that, can be intimidating, but more than that, it's can be overwhelming, even if you're an incredibly organized person. It's difficult. Difficult. All right, hang with us. Coming up, we're going to zig and zag on a few big things that affect you in your backyard and me in mine. Find out what that is. Kate Delaney, America Tonight.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
And everything in between. There's some buzz over this. How about this? Yeah, the Russians bought Black Lives Matter ads on Facebook, and they targeted Baltimore and Ferguson. Yeah, at least one of the Facebook ads bought by the Russians during the presidential campaign referenced Black Lives Matter and was targeted to reach the people in Missouri and Baltimore. Which is crazy. So the decision to target the ads in those two cities is the first glimpse into how accounts linked to the Russian government-affiliated troll farm known as the Internet Research Agency use geographically targeted advertising to start the political chaos in the U.S. And Facebook previously said that one quarter of the 3,000 ads bought by the agency were geographically targeted, but they haven't revealed any specific locations. And they haven't revealed which demographic groups and interest groups were targeted because they would be targeting something. What were they targeting? We don't know any of that yet. Don't know any of that. But the idea was to create chaos, discord, whatever, in the United States and across the West. So the level of sophistication is frightening of the targeting. That they were able to do this in this way by going after communities, link them up with certain issues. Brilliant and sick and sad and twisted in another. So what did they know? How did they know these geo targets? Where did they know to go by geography and demographics? And looks pretty sophisticated to me. It does. Because they bought the ads through the self-service ad model that allows buyers to target their ads to users based on a bunch of criteria, including geographic location, demographic categories, and specific interests.
Yeah, so how about that? That is huge. It's huge and it's frightening, and people are talking about the troll farm. Because there's more there, if you know what I mean. There's absolutely more there. We just don't know some of the specifics, and it would be very interesting to find out some more of those specifics, I think. Absolutely. If you're one of those crazy texters, texting all the time, which is pretty much all of us, right? On some level, you're texting. One of the airlines, Delta, is offering free in-flight texting. That's big. And you can see why they would do that, because they can jump on this. Whatever it costs them is nothing. It's a song, right? And so by doing that, that could be a way that, depending on where they service, they'll draw more people in, especially in the South, because that's a big Delta territory. So free messaging is going to be available on GoGo and Able Delta flights for planes with two or more cabins. It leaving out 130 smaller 50-seat regional jets. Travelers will be able to access the feature through their Wi-Fi portal. That's big. So if you think, I looked this up, Delta's fleet is about 1,300 planes, and about 130 have Wi-Fi. So your chances are pretty good that you'd be able to get that. I mean, it's a big move. It's the first by any airline. So think of the other rival airlines. And think about people that would, now they can communicate. Especially if you're saying for free to be able to do that in-flight texting. I think that it'll be a huge hit. I mean, a huge, huge hit. I'm jumping to something else that is interesting. I mean, interesting in the sense that we've been talking about this controversy over taking a knee and what's happening in the NFL and what kind of ratings is the NFL going to get, ultimately for the whole season. And you think of how big the NFL is. It's a machine, my friends. And speaking of that, we still do have Nail the Score. I'm sorry because we've been kind of all over the place, but we have Nail the Score coming up on our Thursday into Friday show in our last segment of the first hour. So I thought about this. While all this controversy is going on about taking knees and the NFL players, I'm seeing this story sneak in about Lindsey Vonn, who's, you know who she is, she's a skier. And she's requested permission to ski versus the men at the 2018 World Cup. So they're going to go, the U.S. Ski and Snowboard Association is going to go in front of the International Ski Federation to argue to allow her to compete. That would be wild. They say it's going to be tough to find a reasonable way of doing it, because at one point, they're saying if the women are allowed to race with the men, then also the men need to be authorized to ski with the women. And they say it's not sure which direction they want to go. They think it's difficult. Ooh. And Vonn got a gold, a bronze, the 2010 Winter Olympics, 7 medals, including 2 golds through the years at the Alpine World Ski Championship, 77 wins on the World Cup circuit. So that's pretty big. She just trails Ingemar Steinmark by 9 victories for the all-time record, which is very, very big. Vonn said she wants to compete because she sees it as a symbolic achievement. She says she knows she's not going to try to win, but she'd like to at least have the opportunity to try. She said she won enough World Cups where she should have enough respect within the industry to be able to have that opportunity, because she's going to retire in 2018. If you think of her age, she's 32, so there's some urgency for her. They previously denied her the chance to compete on the men's circuit. She tried back in 2012, and they said no. They said no to that. But she's going to try again. And she may, I don't know, maybe she gets lucky. Maybe this is her time. I wouldn't count on it, though, because of some of what's been released before that hearing about men and women, and then having to have the men be able to ski with the women. It, you know, it's easy to just fling that back and just go with it and not have it challenged. But maybe it does, I don't know, maybe it does get challenged somewhat. My guess is she doesn't get it, but how cool would it be if she did? I'd be curious to see that. Oh boy, would I think that'd be really, really interesting. Definitely. And then finally, I hate hearing these stories, these bullying stories. And it's really bad. When I went to visit my nieces and I was in Philadelphia, they all have to sign these anti-bullying pieces of paper contracts in the beginning of the year, and they have so many strikes, and then they're out. And sometimes they say it could be innocuous and kidding, but then it's taken wrong. So New York City High School and the neighborhood are still upset after a stabbing left one student dead, another in grave condition. They say it's about bullying. An 18-year-old student of the school is in custody. Police say he fatally stabbed one of his fellow students, who was just a 15-year-old, with a switchblade. It happened into the third period of this Urban Assembly School for Wildlife Conservation, a public middle and high school in the Bronx. About 1,100 kids go there. And, you know, the suspect walked out into the hallway. He met a counselor, handed her a bloodied switchblade. He went to the assistant principal's office, quietly sat there for the cops to arrive. So didn't try to run, didn't try to do any of that. They say the last time somebody was killed inside a school was at least 20 years ago. And they are definitely reeling. There was about 15 to 20 other students in the class. So they huddled in closets in the classroom. The school was locked down. People were wondering what happened. And they think that the suspect was in a fight with the victim since the beginning of the school year, and it just imploded. Wow. Oh, that's awful. I can't imagine being a parent and getting the phone call and then rushing down to see the kind of the chaos and grab your kid from that and have that kind of, I won't say kind of, but have that bubble shattered. No parent wants to see the bubble shattered, especially with that, with a, some kind of stabbing, and it's a fatal stabbing, no less. So multiply that, it's even worse. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Hey, coming up on our next show, just a quick little preview for you. Don't forget, we'll have movies and nail the scores. We try to mix in some lighter fare along the way besides heavy DC and the tsunami that washes over all of us in the end. Coming up next, Forbes Books at Bedtime.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, J.P. Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Two, three, ooh. Ooh-hoo. 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 Well, my heart knows better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let her do all the talking. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Ooh-hoo. Felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. The big black car said, look this way. He said, hey, that day, will you marry me?
But I said, no. IBM. And so much more. So, David, thanks so much for coming on the show. You're the author of Relationship Economics, like we said. And as soon as I say that word, I think, what do you mean by relationship economics?
It's good to be with you. And, yeah, it's been a passion of mine for the last 2 decades.
Wow, that's a long time. So what when people hear the term relationship economics, I'm assuming like us, they ask you, what do you mean by that? And if you're at a cocktail sure. party, how do you answer that?
So my crusade, if you will, has been to really help people understand that relationships are more than a quote unquote the soft skill. For years, we've proven that they can be intentional, they should be strategic, and they can be quantifiable. And in my research, I found really two camps, right? The art of relationships, how to get a business card or give a card or how to, quote unquote, work a room, and the traditional networking, which, by the way, I remind people it's one letter away from not working. Right. And then separately, the science of relationships, which is actually called social network analysis. It has nothing to do with Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn. It's studying patterns in human interaction. Fascinating, but it puts most people to sleep. So I was.
Yeah, by the way, if you put people to sleep here, we're not going to be very happy.
Understood. So I was fortunate enough to put them together. So I talk about the art and science of relationships. It is more than just a soft skill. It can be a huge enabler of you trying to get things done in business.
So I have a question for you, because anytime a conversation turns towards the idea of networking, I have this suspicion, and it might be exactly what you've been studying for 20 years, but I have the suspicion that some people are networkers purely out of self-interest, and that at the end, that's not very effective. And there are others who are networkers because they have all kinds of motives and interests, including their own, but also the interests of others around them. Is that part of what you're talking about, of being intentional, strategic, and quantifiable?
Very much so. You're exactly right. And unfortunately, I say to folks, a lot of people confuse vibration with forward motion. Right. And the first chapter of relationship economics is the top 10 reasons most networking doesn't work. And a big part of that is there's no plan, there's no purpose, there's no goal. So, and Adam Grant at Wharton wrote the book, Givers and Takers, and he talks about the same thing is, we found a couple different camps, people that are me-centric. Forget you for a second. It's all about me. And the only reason I've been talking to you is because I want something. I'm not sure how far that will get you. And then there's other-centric, which is people that are very, they're very euphoric from just giving. They love to give, and God bless them. They're like Mother Teresa. The balanced approach is what I call relationship investors. These are people who understand this idea of relationship currency. Over time, they're really focused on building their reputation capital. And just like how we have a personal net worth, they also understand conceptually the idea of a professional net worth of your relationship assets and your relationship liabilities.
So how do you start becoming a relationship investor if people are hearing this for the first time? The way you, that you put it, how do you do that? Because as you know and you describe so well, there's all these networking groups and meetups and whatnot, and I think people throw cards at each other and that's it. They just collect cards even still.
Yeah, let me give you and your listeners just three basic ideas. Number one, relationships don't make sense by themselves, right? Nobody builds a relationship because they're bored, right? It's an enabler of something we're trying to do. So get crystal clear on what's the desired outcome, right? Why are you trying to build these relationships? So having a goal, having a lighthouse that you work toward is critical. And being transparent with that, listen, I'm trying to grow this territory, or I'm trying to launch this product, or I'm trying to get this project done. Being transparent with that just kind of paves the way for people to see you as more authentic.
Why is that transparency so hard for so many people? They think that they have to ask, that they're going to ask for the thing they want, but they'll never actually come out and say what they want, and that just makes people feel skeevy.
Right? I would submit that we all have a BS radar, right? We all see it a mile away, right? And everybody sees it. So if you come out with, hey, listen, here's what I'm trying to do, and I'd love to, so I'm going to get to the other two points quickly, but if you're transparent early on, you kind of disarm people with that authenticity, right? Everybody knows, everybody has the perception that you have an agenda.
It's called being honest.
Right? Here's what I'm trying to do. It just, again, disarms people with, this is not a BSer. This is not somebody who's going to try to pull a fast one, right? So number one, be succinct about your desired outcome, what you're trying to do. Number two, listen louder. Listen louder. My favorite one-hour visit with somebody is when 15 minutes of it is about them. And by the way, you want better answers, ask better questions, right? So tell me what your priorities are. Tell me what your challenges are. Tell me, really put your mindset in that notion of seekers and solvers. What are they trying to do? How can you be an asset? And a relationship investor fundamentally understands, and this is my third point, if you start by giving, if you start by investing, and I talk about reciprocate first, if you start by investing in others, those who get it will not only say thank you, not only ask, that's very kind of you, what can I do to help you, but they'll also find ways to help others. And if they don't, that's when your yellow flag should go up. That's when you should be concerned about, do they fundamentally understand that they're in the people business?
Wow. And so important, right, for companies to be in the people business. And a lot of companies ignore maybe the value of relationship economics, huh?
That's exactly right. And my most recent book, Co-Create, builds on that notion that you cannot succeed in the future going at it alone. None of us are the smartest person in the room. I have a mentor who says, if you are, you're in the wrong room. Right? And how will you evolve as an individual, as a team, as an organization? Through a few, but really more meaningful, more real, more impactful, more strategic relationships who are going to help you think very differently about your business model, about your revenue model, about your personal and professional growth.
We're talking with David Knorr. He's the author of the book Relationship Economics and many other books. His website is knorrgroup.com. It's N-O-U-R-G-R-O-U-P.com. You know, it's interesting, David, as you're talking about this whole idea of as your book title says, relationship economics, one of the things I'm thinking about is how, on one hand, it seems like technology and social media has changed this economic system, but I have a feeling you're going to tell us it hasn't changed it at all.
Yeah, technology is, and again, I've been blessed by technology. One of my first jobs at IBM and subsequently Silicon Graphics, and I've worked for a number of software technology companies, and I spent most of my early career in tech companies. So technology, I've found, is an incredible enabler of you nurturing that relationship. But Greg, it'll never replace, so certainly I haven't found a model where it replaces you and I meeting face-to-face and shaking hands and looking each other in the eye and really investing the time and effort in getting to know the needs, the wants, the aspirations, the desires of the other person. Now, LinkedIn is a great place for you and I to stay in touch, and you can see my articles, you can see kind of what I'm doing and what I'm focused on, and Twitter is a good way to kind of get updates on things, and Instagram, you can visually see kind of what I'm up to, but it's amazing, even at the enterprise level, how many companies forget relationships in their customer relationship management or their CRM system. So, unfortunately, again, when I said earlier, people confuse vibration with forward motion, they're confusing transactional nature of networking and contacts with transformational impacts of relationships.
Yeah. You talk about, when you talk about the Hollywood talent model, what is that?
Yeah, in Co-Create, we did a ton of research, and we found that by 2020, which isn't that far away, over 50% of the workforce are going to be contract laborers. So in essence, the gig economy. And if you think about it a second, back in the 40s and 50s, almost everybody involved with a movie worked for the studio. Well, that's just not the case today. Very few actually work for the studio. The studio, buys a screenplay, hires a producer who then hires a director and on-camera talent all the way off to, the off-camera talent. And they'll work together over a couple years around a common vision, right? But when that project is done, the only guarantee they have of the next project is both the quality of their work and the breadth and depth of their relationships. And I would submit that model is going to continue to proliferate through our companies where, you remember our parents working for 50 years to collect a watch? Those days are long gone. So the only guarantee you have in job security is the perceived value you bring to people who are trying to accomplish that vision, that outcome. So the Hollywood talent model, and you're starting to see it more, contract labor, more projects, more initiatives that include both traditional employees, but a lot of folks that really don't necessarily work for the company.
Yeah, wow, so interesting. David Knorr, thanks so much for joining us here on Forbes Books at Bedtime.
My pleasure.
Thank you. been said. Any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Dory, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit BrightsideBend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to BrightsideBend.com. That's BrightsideBend.com.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.
So many of you that listen to the show have called me with your frustrations talking about the lack of jobs, the skill sets you have, especially when it comes to manufacturing and steel in particular. Many, many of our great affiliates fall into those regions where you're counting on those jobs and you're questioning what's happening around the country. I'm so thrilled to be joined by right now Scott Paul, who is the president of the Alliance of American Manufacturing, and he knows all about that because they dive very, very deep. He does a terrific podcast. I would suggest you definitely tune into that, the Manufacturing Report. And I'll tell you what, Scott, it's nice to have you on the show, but I feel the frustration of so many of my listeners who have children who wanted to go and follow into the footsteps of their fathers and their grandfathers and feel like they can't because the jobs aren't there. What in the world is happening? I thought we were working on infrastructure in this country and there'd be more jobs.
Hey, Kate, first of all, it's great to be with you and right back to you. I really respect your show and what you do. And you're right. I mean, here's the challenge, I think. You know, we're in a time where there's relatively low unemployment. The stock market is doing well. And yet you have a lot of communities where it is hard to find a good job. I was just in a little wedge of Wisconsin where there were a couple of thousand people that showed up for a job fair that one of those Amazon fulfillment centers that was having, and you can't make a career out of that. The kind of blue collar skilled jobs where you could achieve a middle class lifestyle, you know, save for your retirement, buy a home, buy an automobile. They're hard to find. They really are, but we can have a future in it. I mean, you know, the steel mills, the auto factories of our parents and our grandparents' age, you're right. Those are a thing of the past, but there is also a bright future for people who want to go into manufacturing, if we have the right policies. And this gets to your point about infrastructure and all of this. I mean, we still live in a physical world, and you just think, you know, you just look around right now and you see all the steel in your life that you don't even realize. So there's going to be a demand for things like steel, but are we going to have the policies that are going to allow us to be competitive in the global marketplace and also make sure that there's a level playing field, and that other nations are playing by the rules as well, so that we give our young people an opportunity to enter a really good career.
Yeah, I know you dive deep into this and talk to a lot of people like I do in Washington. And what is the feeling that you're getting? It's great. I love that you use the word level playing field, because it's not really level right now.
Yeah, and this is something that if you dial back to last year, Bernie Sanders was talking about on the Democratic side, Donald Trump was talking about the Republican side. It really had some resonance with a lot of different voters out there. This idea that our trade policies haven't worked, that there is a better way to do this, and I see it too. And so, you know, the president, you know, won Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan, and that kind of a trade message really resonates there with those steel workers and those auto workers. And what we've seen are a lot of kind of trains leave the station in terms of policy, like lots of ideas that have been generated or promises that have been made. But I'm very sad to report that, you know, none of them have arrived at their destination. They seem to have been sidetracked. We're back to the same framework where it's hard to get anything done in Washington, D.C. There's been some resistance to things that the president is trying to do, even when there's some industrial state Democrats that want to do the same thing. And so we really haven't seen a lot of things that the president has been able to deliver on this. And I part of it is where his focus is, but part of it is there's also this resistance in Washington, D.C. for changing the status quo.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there on the status quo. And we're speaking with Scott Paul, President of Alliance for American Manufacturing. And if we go back to our dates, and I'm really good, Scott, at keeping dates, I got this big notebook so I can keep up with policies. And you're absolutely right. One of the things that was talked about during the campaigns, as you're saying, is what was going on, certainly in the industry and with manufacturing, and keeping it in America and made in America. I do a segment on my show called Made in America, and we dig deep trying to find people who are doing it right here. Now, the exciting thing is, you know that too, and there are, and I know you explore this, the companies that are here that are keeping it in America, and of all the people and all the places that you've gone and people that you've talked to, what gets you really juiced and excited about what you're doing?
Oh, look, that's a great question. I am so glad you asked that, because I think there's a couple of things. First of all, there's this misimpression that people have that, if you're working in a factory, it's because you got stuck there and you're not happy with your job and you'd much rather be doing something else. And everywhere I go, and no matter what kind of a factory it is, the men and women that I talk to are thrilled to have their job. They see it being something tangible. They're working with their hands and with their minds. They see a product at the end of the day, and it's actually very satisfying work. And then I think the second thing, and you're right about this, is that there's so many people who say, well, you can't make this, you can't make that, you can't find this in the United States of America anymore. And so I love the entrepreneurs who are investing in all sorts of new things. And you just think about, and I'll think this is something that everybody buys, like, you know, footwear or apparel. And most of it is imported. You know, almost all of it went overseas. And yet you see these folks who have said, well, I'm going to make it in America. And they've done it quite successfully, from, you know, amazing sweatshirts that American Giant does to, you know, flip flops that a company like Okabashi does, or there's a sock company in Alabama. I mean, you cover these too, and mm-hmm. we do on our blog. I mean, there's almost an unlimited array of folks who are doing things. The only thing where I find we're falling short still is electronics and smartphones. And that's why I always remind Tim Cook that if he wanted to, he could do it in the United States of America.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If he wanted to, because when you look at the dollars and cents of it, I still say, Scott, that economically you can make it feasible for these companies, and it gets back to what we first started talking about, the incentives and bringing that back into the United States instead of tossing it overseas, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's a combination. People always ask me, well, what's the one thing that would make manufacturing more competitive? Mm-hmm. And so if they ask it like that, I say, look, first of all, we need a strategy. You know, every state, every locality has a strategy to try to attract manufacturing jobs. I mean, you see when a company announces it wants to produce in the United States, all these states and localities get involved and say, well, come here. But as a nation, we also need a strategy. And that doesn't mean picking winners and losers, but it does mean things like investing in our infrastructure. That makes our logistics more efficient. Investing in the skills and training of men and women who won't necessarily be getting a four-year college degree, but who do have skills or who want skills and can put them to work in a modern 21st century factory. It means a level playing field on trade and a trade policy that is not focused on a philosophy. You know, the Ricardo and Smith are nice in a textbook, but look at the real world and see what's going on and see what we have to do. And also to promote research and development that's made in the United States. We invent a lot of amazing things, and then they end up getting made in China. And so, you know, if we tie all of those things together and also have a more competitive tax code, look, I think that we can compete with anybody. I mean, we have the know-how. We are a manufacturing country, and we've been that for the better part of two centuries. And there's no reason why we can't do this if we have the right kind of public policies that are going to support it.
Absolutely, I agree. Hey, last one. So saving the steel jobs, what can the people, the millions of people do that are listening to you and I speak right now? What can they do if they're hearing this and their blood is boiling and they want to help people that are in the field?
Well, look, we're reminding the president of his promise and to stick to it, even to work through this Washington morass. And so if you go to AmericanManufacturing.org, we have a petition that we're sending to the White House. And, you know, we draw supporters from both parties, from every state. And it's like we do have to stand up for our steelworkers, because they are the core of our manufacturing base. And they're the men and women who make the product that go into our battleship, our armored personnel carriers, our critical infrastructure. All of this we're going to have a big need for in the future, but they need that level playing field, and we want the president to follow through on his promise to provide that level playing field on steel.
All right, I'm urging all the listeners of America Tonight, go sign that petition, AmericanManufacturing.org, as Scott said. Scott Paul, president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing, thanks so much for joining us on ATN.
Kate, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Dr. Carolyn Dean wants you to have a free chapter of her new book, The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition, and it's available at magmiracle.com. In your free chapter, Dr. Carolyn Dean explains how magnesium is essential to support the structure and function and overall health of your body. Your free chapter is your guide to learn how to support your heart, bone, metabolic, lung, and mental health with this powerful mineral. The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition is available on Amazon, but right now get a free chapter at magmiracle.com, spelled magmiracle.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.